Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Trent Hoff down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got a very interesting interview with our local DNR fish biologist, Max Walter, and then lastly, some great winter panfish tips from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Keep your resolutions to have more fun and get more done during the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports. Get your perfect ride and take advantage of financing as low as 3.99% and rebates up to $1,200. The Polaris side-by-side lineup has it all. Get more done with a hard-working Ranger, elevate your adventure in the versatile General, or live your life wide open in the high-performance Razor. With accessories from cabs and heaters to plows, track kits, and more, you can dominate whatever nature brings. Rather have an ATV, work in the woods, or tame the trails on an unstoppable sportsman. Looking for a ridiculous bargain? You can get a 2020 Polaris Sportsman 450 ATV for less than $100 a month. Don't miss out on the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Offer valid in the U.S. through 2/29/20. Subject to credit approval. Rebates and financing vary by model and year. See Hayward Power Sports for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, right next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping out co-host, we've got Trent Hoff. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, John.
And I'll talk about the ice conditions out there. They really have improved. All the reports I'm getting back is that there's very little to no slush out there in most places that guys are getting out. I'm sure you're going to find some in some places, but you know that a lot of that slush and stuff that was from the rain on top of it a couple of weeks ago, it basically has gotten solidified now, and so ice conditions are pretty good, and it seems like more and more people are starting to get out there.
Yeah, that's definitely seems to be what we're seeing around here. Granted, there could be 3 to 4 or 5 inches of that white ice on top. What you really want to look for is that good clear ice underneath that. That's going to be what supports the weight out there, and you know, as long as there's at least 6 inches, we should be okay to start getting machines out there on the ice.
Yeah, I heard there was as much as 8 inches of ice on Grindstone Lake and some of the lakes already. So the reports vary. It's still pretty early yet, with considering the conditions we had coming up to this with the rain and everything else. So you want to still be conscious that there's not 2 feet of ice out there for me, like we sometimes will see, but I think that'll come. As far as the fishing out there, I'm getting reports back that, some guys after panfish. You hearing that here?
Yeah, you know, we're still getting a lot of walleye fishermen and pike fishermen as well, but the panfish, it's pretty popular at this time. Some people are running into a really finicky bite right now, so finesse-type plastics and lead jigs can really pay off.
You bet, you know, and it makes, I think we'll talk about that a little bit here as we get farther in the show, but there's two different ways of catching these fish, an aggressive approach and a more finesse approach. And I'm going to talk about that as we get later in the show here. This is also a time when, you know, we're looking at northern pike guys. They get out there and start setting tip-ups.
Yeah, and actually, you can kind of go one of two ways with the pike there. You can fish, you know, the shallow banks, 6 to 10 feet, looking for weed lines or hard structure. If you want to go for the big boys, people tend to go fish in a little deeper basins and work in the bottoms there.
Yeah, you want to move out often, that, but still related to those breaks and them drops, because actually there's a point out there where you have a hard to soft bottom transition. You know, if you come off that drop off from that weed edge, and you can actually see it on your depth finders, where you've got that sand or gravel or whatever it is along that break, and it drops in, it turns into that muck on the bottom of the lake. And a lot of those fish, including walleyes, will run that hard to soft transition, and not just in winter, but a lot of times.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I found pretty interesting this winter is a lot of guys that were pulling these pike up were finding frogs in their bellies. They're down there in that muck, and they're kicking up those frogs out of there and eating those.
Wow, that's kind of interesting. I know down here at the shop, you guys got a lot of stuff in here for ice fishing and some stuff on sale, shacks, auger stuff.
Yeah, we got quite a few sales going on. We got augers, shacks, electronics, some pretty darn good prices going on right now. So if you're in the market, come on, check us out.
And some of the stuff that we talk about on the show here, whether you're talking finesse jigs or whatever, you've got all that stuff too. Some of the ice fishing contests coming up, we're already into some of them, have it going on, but you got one coming up here out at Deerfoot Resort. Deerfoot always has a bunch of different events every year, and they've got one they call it Freeze Your Buns Off Crappie Tournament, and that'll be February 1st and 2nd, and that's usually a pretty good turnout for that.
Yeah, and appropriately named as well.
Yeah, usually get to February 1st, it is. Then the big one, the 24th Annual Walleyes for Northwest Wisconsin Ice Fishing Contest. That'll be February 15th, and I'm hoping to get somebody in here from Walleyes for Northwest Wisconsin to talk about that a little bit here maybe this next week or so.
Yeah, we always like to hear from those guys. They do a lot of good for the community and the outdoor recreation around here.
Well, Trent, you know, I'm going to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors that help bring this show to you every week. And when I come back, I've got an interesting interview with our local DNR fish manager, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hit the trails with the Polaris New Year sales event at Hayward Power Sports. This is Johnny, and we have a nice selection of brand new 2020s, and they're all ready for fun. Hurry in for rebates up to $500, plus 0% financing for 12 months, or get 3-year warranties on select sleds. With excellent riding conditions, they won't last long. It's the Polaris New Year sales event at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
See dealer for details. Polaris recommends a rider's ticket training course. Wear a helmet and safety gear. Never drink and ride.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and helping out co-host is Trent Hoff down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And you know, every once in a while I get a chance to sit down with Max out there at the DNR headquarters out there and talk to him about stuff, and he's always got a bunch of interesting stuff because he's one of the most active fish managers we've had around here.
It definitely helps to be in touch with, you know, what's going on these lakes, and the best way to know that is get out there and do some firsthand fishing.
Well, yeah, and he does that too. He fishes himself, but he also has a lot of public input. He accepts input from the public at meetings and stuff he has, and he'll have one coming up. We're probably talking about that with Max here as we get into this. But let's hear what Max had to say on ice fishing and winter fishing and a lot more. We're down to our local DNR office talking to our local biologist, Max Walter. And Max, we're in the ice fishing season right now, and there's a couple things I'd like to talk to you about on ice fishing. And You know, ice fishing is a growing sport. It seems like it's really getting taken off with the advent of newer equipment, newer electronics, and even the clothing and the comfort we've got.
Yes, and we have statistics that back up your feeling there, John. You are correct. Ice fishing has been getting more popular. There's more hours spent by anglers out on the ice now than there used to be. So, you know, I think that's really a great thing, especially because, you know, we're here in Wisconsin. It feels like some years, 9 months of the year is ice fishing. So it's great that people are able to kind of take advantage of this season and get out there for, honestly, some of the best fishing the whole year round if you can stomach the conditions, which is, again, easier now with some of the technology.
You know, the trade-off to that is, though, that from what I see from my standpoint, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is also a time where, under certain circumstances, some of the fish, especially panfish, can take a pretty substantial hit from angling pressure.
Right. Yep. And that's something we're looking at, too, is, you know, how does this change in, you know, the amount of fishing that's happening and how that fishing is distributed throughout the year? You know, how is that impacting populations? So, yeah, panfish, definitely one of the big targets. You know, and just in general, you know, ice fishing is harvest fishing, right? You know, not many people are doing catch and release ice fishing. You get that big walleye, you let it go, maybe. Accidentally catch a muskie, right. Obviously, you let
or
it go.
Or a big pike.
Yeah, big pike. I hope people are doing that. But most of what people are out there to do is they want panfish that are coming home with them, some pike, either some fillets or some picklers. So it's a harvest time of year, right?
Yeah, and lakes where they tend to concentrate fish. You've got lakes where they'll still be along the weed edges and stuff, but then there are a significant number of lakes, and especially flowages, where they tend to migrate into that deepest basin, and around that basin, so a majority of your fish population is concentrated, which if anglers want to put a lot of pressure on and not be selective as what they're taking or how they're fishing, we can see a negative result from it.
Yes, that potential definitely exists. If you think about, you know, winter and how fish congregate, you're playing on a reduced playing field. And I think, again, the technology comes into play there, where it's easier to get right back on that crib you were at before that you know is holding fish, or it's easier to get farther out on the lake with a UTV, easier to stay out and fish longer. So, yeah, you know, that's something that anglers should be aware of and, you know, kind of think about from their own ethical standards as far as, you know, how many do I need to take at this time of year? Another thing that I know you've brought up in the past is when you're catching fish that are way down deep. Suspended crappies are a good example. You know, what's the fate of those fish if you're trying to release them? And instead of sorting through and, you know, trying to take the 10 biggest out of the 30 you catch, it might be better for the fishery if you take the first 10 you catch and call it a day at that point. Because ones you release may not be doing as well.
The magic figure there seems to be about 25 feet. Anything, if they're suspended at 25 feet or they're deeper than 25 feet, those fish seem to get that barotrauma where their air bladder swells up. They just don't seem to make it when you put them back down the hole.
Yes, and this was an issue that, you know, I was talking with some folks in the Minnesota DNR about it, specifically with crappies. And, you know, some of the things they were observing is there's certain lakes where you can bring them up from 20 feet, 25 feet, no problem. They seem to go down just fine. There's other lakes where, you know, 15 to 20 feet and they're having all kinds of problems.
Wow,
so
that's interesting.
Yeah, so they're wondering, you know, maybe if it's related somehow to, you know, the type of the lake and things like that. So I guess, you know, there's definitely kind of an area there, and I think you're right in the neighborhood with that 20-foot cutoff, but it may not be a hard and fast rule. It might vary a little bit, so.
Yeah.
Something to be aware of.
And you're really sorting fish. I mean, I actually know a lot of people that I've run into that say, I won't keep a crappie unless it's 10 or 11 inches. And that's actually a negative for our fisheries, because if you take all the big fish, there, as that pyramid goes up, the fish number of bigger fish gets smaller and smaller. And, you know, you start picking off the big ones pretty soon, and all you've got is the smaller ones.
Right, yes. So, I mean, even if every fish that you're releasing under that size is surviving, as you mentioned, that's still a problem, because you're cropping off the top end of that size distribution. If that happens for a long enough time by highly efficient anglers, that top end size is just going to keep going down, down, down. We see that happen all the time for panfish. So, yeah, you're from a fisheries biology standpoint, you're better harvesting from kind of the middle of the size distribution you're catching, the
eight,
most common
8 inches, nine inches, yeah,
or whatever the most common size is you're catching. If you happen to be on a lake where they're all 10 and 11 inches, that's what you're taking home,
right.
But yeah, if you have to catch 5 or 6, 8 or 9 inches to get a few 10 and 11s, you know, it'd be good to see some of those 8 and 9 inches go home too.
You know, bluegill's a whole different thing, though. Now, bluegills, and I got onto this from Burl Borsdahl over in Minnesota, the research over there, is that it's actually the big bluegills are what everybody wants, the 9 and 10-inch bluegills. But when those are removed, you wind up with a population of smaller bluegills because the big bluegills are the males, and they actually dictate the whole size structure hierarchy of the lake.
Right, yes. So, a similar concept, but yeah, it's a lot more, it's driven by the fish in a lot of cases. And if there aren't those big bluegills around, the size structure is going to get small and in many cases stay small for quite a long time. It's really hard to fix a bluegill population that used to have 8 and 9 inch fish once they're gone.
And so the best thing to do is to keep the 7 and 8 inch fish and throw the 9s in the bigger back, I think.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know, as far as ice fishing, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but there are a lot of things go on under the ice in the wintertime. You still have zooplankton going on coming up, which changes, you know, your fish activity seem to get more active toward evening. And I don't know, is it a matter of a light thing, or is it just the activity level in the lake that seems to make the fishing pick up in the evening?
It's all driven by the light, ultimately. So when the light starts to get lower, that's when those zooplankton and those bugs are going to start moving. They're going to come out of the deeper water areas and start coming up a little shallower, or come out of the weeds, whatever. So they feel like they're safer under low light conditions, and they may spend the whole night eating, but that's why that half hour right before dark is kind of the magic time, especially on certain lakes.
That explains why, as you get later in the wintertime, well, of course, there's an oxygen factor that comes into play, too. But later in the wintertime, as you get more snow cover and thicker ice, you have less light down there. So all that stuff happens more earlier in the day and sometimes all day long.
Yep, exactly. Yep. There's also a really interesting study. I don't recall where exactly it was done, but they were looking at how zooplankton were distributed throughout the lake. And if there's patchy snow on top of the ice, some places there's snow, some places where there's open ice, the zooplankton were going to be under that snow, using it for shade, basically like an animal would use a tree for shade, right?
Yeah.
So kind of cool. So might be something to try. If you're having a hard time locating panfish, they might be under the snow, following the zooplankton.
You know, how are our panfish populations doing up here from your studies and everything?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of lakes that have been pretty stable. Some that we've seen some increases in size. Panfish tend to be a lot more, you know, resilient to change than walleye and some of the other types of, you know, predator species. So, you know, we're seeing some really good things like down on the Big Chetek area. Panfish are doing great. Good bluegill, good crappies. Triple forage still going fairly steady, although, you know, there's some kind of blinking sign, warning signs there. So other lakes, you know, the big Clearwater lakes are still producing big crappies. Never in high numbers, but they're there and they're big. So lots of good things happening.
One thing you've been advocating, and I have as well too, is that rather than put all the pressure on the other fish like the crappies, the bluegills, and walleyes, we've got a pretty good high number of northern pike out there, which are really good eating. And if a guy wants to harvest some meat, that's probably the easiest and quickest way to get some fish and still maintain our crappie and walleye and other fishery.
Yeah, in general, I would say pike are underutilized as a food fish, and a lot of people seem to have a real aversion to keeping anything under even like 24 inches. And boy, I'll tell you can easily flay a 22-inch pike, or you can pickle, and a lot of people seem to be getting into that. But, you know, pike are abundant, they're fairly easy to catch. We keep a long season on them and liberal limits, you know, with the intention that people can harvest lots of them, especially around here where we're trying to manage lots of these lakes for muskies, right? And so having high numbers of pike kind of gets in the way of that. So it's definitely a fish we have in surplus in most lakes. Now, there are a couple exceptions I do want to mention. You know, there's a few lakes where pike are the only Isokid species. We don't have muskies and we want to grow big pike. Nelson Lake's a good example, Chetak Lake, and there's a couple others. And those are ones where, you know, yeah, we're maybe trying to manage for a little more of a trophy fishery for pike. But most of our lakes, especially ones with muskies, we'd love to see more pike harvest.
And one other good reason why to keep smaller pike, they're better eating. Mm-hmm. And because the older a predator gets, the more it carries as far as any contaminants. If you got mercury in a lake, for instance, and I think there's a trace amount of mercury everywhere, basically. So it'll accumulate in the predators as the years go on. So the younger fish, or IK, the smaller fish, are going to be better eating.
Yes, yeah. So absolutely true. Mercury is more common in predators, and as they age, they pick up more. If you think about like a 21, 22-inch pike around here is typically 4, maybe 5 years old, depending on the lake and the sex a little bit. Once you get up to like the high 20s or the 30s, you know, that fish is probably 10 to 15 years old. So it's had three times longer to, you know, accumulate stuff. So those younger fish are healthier for a few reasons.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said age, you know, you said a pike of 22 inches, about 4 years, compared to a crappie that's 10 inches, what, 8 to 10 years?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Easier to replace it. It's a faster growing crop, I think.
Yes. That's another great point is, we have an almost unlimited supply of, northerns that will be coming up. You know, they're never going to have extended periods of bad year classes. There's always going to be more northern. So it's kind of I mentioned it's a surplus. It's also kind of a constant surplus. So get the tip-ups out. They're a lot of fun, especially if you're fishing with kids. You cannot beat pike for winter ice fishing action.
Kids love tip-ups, and pike and tip-ups go together.
Pike and tip-ups go together. You want to see that flag going up, find a weed bed, put some shiners down there, and let the kids chase.
Max, been very interesting again talking to you. I want to thank you very much for coming on here and giving us some good information.
Thanks, and good luck to everybody out there ice fishing.
Max is always very interesting. I have another couple of interviews I'll be running in the next couple of weeks with Max. But right now, we do need to take another break and hear from more of the fine sponsors that make this show very possible every week. When we come back, I've got an interesting interview with one of the Hayward area fishing guides talking about panfish. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Carlson Motorsports is Hayward's newest auto dealership. If you're looking for a used vehicle, stop in today. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 on Windrose Lane. Give them a call today at 715-634-1347.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Myrie, and helping out co-host today is Trent Hoff down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And, you know, one of the guides, he actually worked in the shop here for a while, Steve Jensen. Steve is out there in the wintertime a lot. He does quite a bit of ice fishing guiding.
Certainly. And like you said, he has helped out here in the past, and he still does from time to time as well. It's great to have him come in. He's very in touch with what's going on in these area lakes. And so... whenever I get the chance, I do like to talk to him. Just a wealth of information.
You bet. Let's hear what Steve had to say about ice fishing for panfish, and we come back, we'll have a wrap up on the show. Steve, I know that you guide even in the wintertime. Guys want to get out there, say, let's look for a panfish, for instance. What would you tell them to start looking for on a lake to be successful?
You know, it kind of all varies from lake to lake, but in general, we start with the weed beds. If you can find good weeds, there's almost always some panfish action to be had there. What you will find in some of our lakes is also bluegills and crappies suspending out in the deeper holes. Anywhere you can find a deep hole that's surrounded by shallower water, a lot of times, especially later in the ice season, those will be the areas to target. But usually the best places to start is the green weed edge, or, you know, the largest green weed flat that you can find on the lake.
You look for the pockets and holes in the weeds and near the deep water.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you want to drill a lot of holes and don't just rely on one. And it's amazing. Sometimes a 10-foot move from one spot to the next will put you on a lot better fishing. Simply because it's the channels or the holes that the fish are moving through. So don't be afraid to drill a lot of holes in your areas and bounce around them until you find the ones that the fish are really hanging in.
I know, Steve, when you're looking for the panfish out there in open water, it's fairly easy to find them on the depth finder, but not quite so easy when you get around the weeds, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's kind of the difference is, in general, you won't see the fish on the graph when you're fishing in the weeds unless you actually start fishing for them and make them come in and look around. The fish out in the deep water, we generally don't even fish for until we start seeing them on the graph. So that's one big difference. You generally have to fish a lot of holes when you're fishing in the weeds to find them. In the deeper water, we just generally drill a lot of holes till we find the fish, and then we hunker down on them and just wait for them to bite.
In the weed fishing, I know if you're in a clear enough lake, the cameras really do help there.
You bet. In fact, that's something that I do recommend. I put one down almost every day that we're out, especially for the bluegill, because there's days where they're so finicky that simply by watching them on the camera take the bait, you will catch twice as many as you would by just watching your spring bobber or fishing them with a tight line.
Steve, anybody want information on guide service?
If anybody wants to get out with me, they can give me a call myself at 715-558-3709.
Well, it was interesting in talking about that, and let's talk a little bit about panfish here. You know, the different times of the day, different bites, and it seems like the bluegill bite is usually better a lot of times during the daytime than the crappie bite, and the crappies tend to go toward that low light in the evening, especially on clear water lakes. But as we get later into the winter and we get more snow cover and we got that white ice now on top, that'll block a lot of light off, so you're more apt to get more daytime bite even on the crappies on some lakes, I've noticed.
Yeah, that low light conditions can really help. Not only does it calm the fish, it seems, but on crystal clear ice, a lot of times we can actually create a shadow and the fish can see that. Right. So like you say, having this dark ice on top certainly helps. And like you mentioned, early morning, late evening, when all that microbial life is coming up off the bottom, the fish absolutely love that and really tend to feed at those times.
Yeah, and that's what happens. You know, it is like when life starts coming up off the bottom, whether it's bait fish or whether it's zooplankton or whatever it is, when it starts coming up in that water column, you can actually see it on good locators like the hummingbird helixes and stuff. You'll see that stuff coming up. That's when the fish will get active. I mean, when that stuff is down, the fish are usually down, it seems like. You know, talk about that. We mentioned earlier in the show, we were talking about active presentations versus, less active or finesse presentations. If you're looking at active, there's times when crappies even, and even bluegills to some degree, they'll go after really tiny jig spoons, like little bitty Castmasters or that. And sometimes you want to play around with color a little bit and different spoon styles, because then one will produce and the other one won't. There's even times when I've done very well with real small jigging wraps, or I like the little Northland puppet minnows. They're small, they're less expensive, and they fly out to the side, and those things tend to also catch crappies. But you know, when we get into that finesse presentation, it's usually a jig bite, and the type of jig you run makes a difference, whether you're running like the heavier tungsten or the lead.
Absolutely. You know, that tungsten, it drops really fast, and sometimes, you know, that's a good thing, but other times, you know, that can actually hinder your opportunity to get on a good strike there. With those lead jigs, they tend to fall a little slower. It just gives it a bit more of a natural presentation.
Sports shows, there'll be a bunch of them coming up here too, and I want to mention the one that's coming up here pretty quick here. That'll be up in Duluth. They will have the annual sports show they have up there. That'll be February 12th to 16th. Not too far away, and there'll be more shows as we go. Muskie show, the last Muskie show out there will be, I believe it's the last one, will be the one over in Wausau, and that will be an annual Wisconsin Muskie Expo, and that's usually the first weekend in March. So that's a good event to go to, too, and it's not that far away.
Well, certainly. You know, it's nice to keep up with what's new and what's going on out there in the fishing world as far as tackle and just gear in general. And these are a good opportunity to actually see what's going to be new to the market this following year.
And you guys are getting a lot of that new stuff in already. I noticed a lot of boxes of big muskie baits coming in.
Oh yeah, we're already getting geared up for this open water season. It's never too early to start thinking about that.
Yeah. You know, and as I'm leaving here, the interesting little piece of tidbit I picked up is that the number of bald eagles down in southeast Wisconsin down there is up 27%. So evidently the eagles are doing pretty well nowadays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, even up in this neck of the woods, I remember when I was a kid, You know, it was quite something to see a bald eagle. And nowadays, I mean, you can go out and you might see three or four in a day. It's amazing the boost in population that we've seen.
Yeah, I even get them sitting in a tree sometimes begging for me to throw a panfish out to them. Anyway, we're about out of time for this week's show. I want to thank you for coming on here.
Oh, thank you, John.
And folks, remember, if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our podcast. You go to our website at WNOradio.net, and from there you'll find links to go to the podcast. It's also on Spotify if you're listening on your phone. Anyway, we're out of time for this week, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.